Prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you included us that believe. Thank you, Father, that you have made a difference in us. Thank you, Father, for being so wonderful, being so kind, being so merciful. Thank you. Oh, Father, tonight, we thank you for Jesus Christ. Father, we were born with a sin problem. Father, it is a deadly thing. And Father, we were guilty. We really were. And Father, you knew it. But oh, because you're so merciful, and because you loved us, you sent Jesus Christ to bear sin's penalty. And oh, Father, he did it. In fact, at Calvary, while upon the tree, he cried out, "It is finished." Father, I'm so thankful that he did everything. He really did. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you that soon we're going to see him again. Father, tonight, all we pray for those upon our prayer list, Father, minister to them. And oh Lord, I do pray for this people. Father, they're such a wonderful people, such a special people, your people, Father. And Father, even now, Father, confirm to their spirit that they are children of God even now. Do it in only a way that you can do it. Father, tonight you come and be honored and glorified as we talk about Jesus. We pray in His name. Amen. Do you know what I like about you most? As if that really matters. But do you know what I like about you most? Because you're you. And because, there's more. Because you're you, and because you lift up Jesus. And anybody that lifts up the Lord, boy, they get along with me. They really will. But let's do pray not only for one another, but let's pray for those on our prayer list. And I can't see because I've got tears in my eyes. I hate to say goodbye. Oh, I hate to, with a passion. I do. I guess that's a character flaw in me. So we're not going to go there. Anyway, do be in prayer for Brenda Wallace's parents, for Brother Al Malo, and the church in Ohio. And I'm sure there are other churches, there are other pastors that we ought to be praying for. I'm not aware of them. But Brother Blake and Brother Breland, be in prayer for them as well. Brother Burr, and also Brother Carl and Sister Betty. Be mindful of them as well. Our own Brother Charlie, be mindful of him and all his folks and the ministry that God has given him and his wife. We'll not forget her. How in the world could we ever forget her? And she's doing okay. She's still kind of stove up. If you and I had had the surgery she had, we'd kind of be stove up too. And so anyway, be mindful of her. Be mindful of Curtis Pugh, Brother Curtis. And be mindful also of the Sullivans. Be mindful of them, of you better believe it. Pray for Brother Lucian. Okay, you're having an MRI tomorrow. Okay. But they're going to find out some things. Okay, we'll be in prayer for you. Just cause you're you. Okay? Okay? Let's be in prayer for the Newells, and give us a report, because I get confused. You said Doug Newell's the second?
Give us a report. The second is the one that went to the hospital, and the bleeding is controlled, and they think he's doing okay. So, but he's still 96, and anything else can go wrong, but as of right now, he's okay.
Okay.
Number three, my dad is the one that he has health problems, he's got knee problems, he can't hardly get around. And Karen is my mother, and she has health problems. And number four, who is my brother, remember he fell off a ladder and is still having concussion symptoms, and those are ongoing. So,
okay.
So three faces of life, seeing all three, you know, three different kinds of problems.
And then you and Miss Jill.
Yeah.
We're praying for you folks too. Pray for the new ones.
If you have to pick one of us, pick her, because she's got more on.
She's
got me.
Yeah, bless her heart. She's got you.
Yeah.
You've got her, and all she's got is you.
I'm raising two. She's raising three.
Okay. That's how it generally is. Be in prayer for the new ones. Let's see here. Be in prayer for the Jameses. Particularly for sin. And anyway, I'm not for sure, but I think she's got yellow fever. I don't know. But she's not doing well sometimes. I mean, she's doing good, but not so good sometimes.
I think it may be a akin to malaria.
Oh, well, okay. Okay. Anyway, I'll be in prayer for them. I'll be in prayer for the Hobbs family, recent loss, health problems. James Reynolds, up in, well, he lives in Tennessee, but he's a member in Philadelphia, in Decatur, Alabama, just across the border. And so be mindful of this. Be in prayer for the Herons, for Jesse and Charles and the family. Be in prayer for them. And then Larry Wilson, be in prayer. And then Brother Leon King, Brother Randy Johnson, and his wife Donna.
I think Leon King is doing a lot better. I think he had another heart after whatever that thing is. And he got his heart back in rhythm. So I think he's doing a lot better.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. But we'll keep him on the prayer list. And then Ray Allen. Let's be mindful of him. He's going through a lot of emotional things at this point. And then T.J. Hilly, Timothy John, and his wife, Tammy. Be mindful. Now, this is Nate Hilly's brother. Timothy John is Nate's older brother. So, anyway, be mindful. The Troy Shepherd family, be mindful. And then Chad Richmond, be mindful, okay? Charlotte Camp's mother, as you are aware, she recently passed away, so be in prayer for the family. And then the church at Silsby, down to two members, and they're still hanging in there. They're still hopeful, trusting the Lord. So then, also be mindful of Corrine Frederick. I do not know her, but she's on our prayer list. Be mindful. She has needs, health problems. Joe Ray is not here tonight, but be mindful. And then Joe Hartman. He is a Brother Ted's friend. Brother Ted is home. Brother Ted is batching, bless his heart. But be mindful, be in prayer for him and the family as they are away. And then the Mark Davis family, of course, Brother Mark passed away. And I'm convinced he's already seen the Lord as he is. Yeah, you and I see him through the eyes of our faith. He has seen him. Paul said to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. And so, anyway, do be mindful. Myrma Cravey, so be mindful. And then the members under discipline, okay?
Just so everybody knows, I reached out to Christina Trahan a couple of weeks ago, and I have not heard anything back. So,
well, I talked with her
friendly for a while, but the last attempt, she did not receive the case.
I talked with her for a while by phone, and she told me, "You're wrong. She's right." So what can you say? And we talked for a good long spell. Anyway, be mindful of her and Millard Cheney, and be mindful for this church, for you folks, as you find God's man to pastor you. Okay? And then Pastor Peter and his wife Patty Horn, my niece Patty, and her last name is Brookings, and she is undergoing, bless her heart, she's got a long road to hoe. She really does. And on top of that, I fear she's lost. Anyway, our President Trump, be mindful. Now, Patty is not our president, but be mindful of our President Trump, okay? And then Ann Flowers, personal loss, Miss Ellen, okay, or Miss Ellen, and then Minerva Hires in Illinois, Illinois, be mindful, and then Ruthie McClellan, and everybody knows who Ruthie is, and then our own Susie, and then the nation of Israel. But you know what? Our God, He is, can I say healthy? He doesn't have health problems. He really doesn't. But our Lord and our Savior, He is faithful. And all how He loves us. Let's bow our heads. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Mr. Lucian, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, would you pray for all these ones who have been absent from all of us, Father? And many of them are health needs, the cause of certain needs are probably far greater than anything that these health needs should, the problem of managing the whole world with the soul.
That's right.
It's better to not have two legs than to have two legs and enter into health arms. So, Father, we know that. Health problems with the body is probably the least of our concerns. The men's souls are a major thing, Father. The things that tend to go out to the world lost. We understand the truth about it all is far in that, Father. So we just pray for our lost loved ones, Father. We pray that you convict them of their sins. And if you let us point to Christ, and let us follow you. Know that Christ is the only answer. So, Father, we pray for our church. We pray for all the members here that we would be a witness to this lost world. That we wouldn't be so caught up with the worldly things that we are always caught up in. And seem to distract us quite a bit, Father. We pray that you forgive us. Father, we know that we're in the last time. That men are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And Father, it sure seems to be that way now. So, Father, we pray that we'd be strong in these last times, that we would be true to the faith, that we would witness of Christ, that we would tell lost souls of their need of a Savior. Father, we pray for the service tonight. Brother Jerry, preach the word in truth and rightly advise, Father, that we would have ears to hear. And again, we thank you, most of all, for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, yes.
What he has done in our charity, thank you that he substituted for us and paid our sins debt and our sins that are cast as far as the east and the west. And I remember it anymore. Father, and he came to me, and we are so thankful for that. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Brother Charlie, would you lead us in song, please?
Thank you. Thank you.
Channel change. 345. 345. Just because.
Just cause.
Turning goodness and mercy.
78. Faith is the victory.
That's right.
Obviously, we did not get through with Psalm 22 this morning, and I'm confident that we will tonight. Now remember that Psalm 22 is messianic. And remember that Psalm 22 focuses upon Jesus Christ while he was up on Calvary's tree. And remember that David, we're not sure when or what event in the life of David that David wrote Psalm 22. And no doubt he talked about himself, but what he had to say went far beyond David. In fact, it goes to the person of Jesus Christ. And remember that David was but a prophet. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 29, I read, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David." I want to talk about David, he said, "that he both is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher or his grave is with us unto this day." I mean, we can take you to it. He's dead. He's buried. It's right over there. We know where it's at. "Therefore, being a prophet and knowing," David knew something, "and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him," God had sworn to David, "that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne." And so David is talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came, as it were, he came from David's loins. And Christ will one day, now, right now, he sits on the right hand of the power on high. One day, he will sit upon his own throne. And he will rule and he will reign. Oh, listen. But if you will, permit me to read Psalm 22. And we're going to deal with the verses that we didn't deal with this morning. Okay? And we're going to begin with verse number 19. So I'm in Psalm 22, beginning with verse 19 to the end of the chapter. And picture, if you will, Christ is speaking. He's talking to Jehovah. He's talking to the Father. He's talking to God. "But be not far from me, O Lord." That word is Jehovah. "Oh, my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns." We're going to talk about these things. "I will declare," I'm in verse 22, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. You have forsaken me." Well, you know what? I'm going to praise you. Oh, how we ought to praise the Lord. "Ye that fear the Lord, praise Him. And all ye seed of Jacob, glorify Him and fear Him, all ye seed of Israel. For He hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted." Aren't you glad? I'm so glad. "My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord," again, Jehovah. "And all the kindreds of the nation shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fed upon the earth shall eat and worship all they." Now, keep in mind, there were those that did not worship. There were those that hated Jesus Christ. He's talking about those that seek Him, those that really care for Him, those that worship Him. Yeah. "And none can keep alive his own soul. Only God can do that. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare His righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that He hath done this. Verse 18 begins with the words, "Be not far from me." And remember, Christ is hanging upon Calvary's tree. Christ is surrounded, as it were, by enemies. And they are laughing at Him. They are mocking Him. They are taunting Him. "Ha ha! You worship God? Let God deliver you if He will have you. You worship God? Let Him do it. We're not going to. Let Him do it." And surely, again, David is speaking, but this goes far beyond David. And this psalm, the entire psalm, is centered around Jesus Christ. "Be not far from me." I mean, everybody else has left me. Don't leave me here. Oh, don't leave me. Don't leave me to bear this alone, and alone He must bear it all. "Be not far from me." This seems to be the burden of the entire psalm. "Be not far from me. Oh God, don't leave me, but sustain me and deliver me." And into what hands have you permitted me to fall? All you and I together cannot imagine the kind of people that wanted to destroy Jesus Christ. We can't imagine. I can't. They hated Him. And this morning we touched on how much they hated Him. They did so much so that they beat Him beyond recognition. And once they did that, then they crucified Him. Oh, we again and again, we sense that Jesus Christ is God. We know He's God. He is. But He's also man. As God, He went to Calvary. As man, He went to Calvary. Not half God, not half man, all God and all man. I don't understand. I'll tell you what. He's crying out to the Father, "Don't leave me. Don't abandon me. You know what I'm faced with." Jesus Christ cried out, "Be not far from me. You are my God. You are my strength." And then in the next verse, we see Him cry out, "Deliver me." You and I will never understand what He felt up on the cross of Calvary. "Deliver me from the sword." And the sword is an instrument of death. And I understand that He's God. And I understand that He is the life and that He is the resurrection. And that no one that believes in Him shall die. I understand that. But I tell you what, the sword was an instrument of death. "Oh, deliver me from this." And it can also speak of those things that pierced His heart. Oh, we can't imagine the things that were done, the things that were said there at Calvary that pierced His very heart. And so, "Deliver me from the sword. Deliver me." And then we see the word "darling." It's translated "darling" twice. It's translated "only child" once. It's translated "the only son" once. Darling, it suggests intimacy. And oh, how the Son loved the Father. Jesus Christ is the only begotten of the Father. And I am satisfied that this is what the psalmist had in view when he wrote these words. "Deliver me, darling, from the power of the dog." And the word "dog," it speaks of those that hated Him. Oh, they hated Him. And there was no cause. There was no reason. He didn't do anything to them. We'll not have this man to reign over us. Oh, today, men talk about Christmas. Let the earth receive her king, they sing out. But we'll not have this man reign over us. Why? Because they hate him. And I am convinced that the words in the last verse in the book of Judges describes mankind today. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. And that's how men have lived, and that's how men are living today. Oh, listen. And then we see this again in verse 16. Listen to Psalm 22, verse 16. For the dogs have compassed me. They're all around. They're everywhere. Oh, everyone hates me. And they really did. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Save me. And I'm still focused on verse 21. Save me from the lion's mouth. Save me from my enemies. All his enemies acted like a pack of wild dogs. Ever see a pack of wild dogs? Well, I've seen a pack of them on television. And they can be vicious. And those people that were around our Lord were vicious. Oh, they hated him. And then they were also as fierce as ravening lions. Not only were they like a pack of dogs, not only were they vicious, but they were like lions. They were fierce like ravening lions, ready to tear you apart. Ready. And a lion is known as the king of beasts. These guys, all I can say is they were something else. But a roaring lion, no doubt, speaks of the devil. And is he not always watching and waiting, roaring like a lion? And then we see the words, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn. What in the world is David talking about? A horse that has a horn between his eyes? I don't think so. I'm not sure myself what that verse means. Oh, I have read what other men says. Well, it's a hippopotamus. He's got a horn, you know. And I read all kinds of things. But in short, I don't know. Gil, he pointed to a man named Pliny. P-L-I-N-Y. And Pliny was a Roman. He was a naturalist born in the year A.D. 23, and he died in the year of A.D. 79, 56 years old. And he died. But according to Pliny, he said that a unicorn was the fiercest of the wild beasts. Listen to Job, as Job talked about the unicorn. Will the unicorn be willing to serve thee? The unicorn, oh God, he's not willing to serve you. He don't want to. Or abide in thy crib. He's not going to want to stay. He's going to want to do what he wants to do. He'll go where he wants to go. He's not going to listen to you. Canst thou bind the unicorn with his band in the furrow? Question mark. The answer is obviously you can't even bind him. Now I know God can do anything. But now keep in mind, if what Pliny said is true, The unicorn was fierce. He was wild. He is, as it were, uncontrollable. And I am convinced that it pictures men that were uncontrollable. Men that did what they wanted to. Or will he harrow the valleys after thee? Wilt thou trust him? God won't even trust him. He's not trustworthy. He does what he wants to. You can't trust him. Well, you couldn't trust these men either. Because his strength is great. Or wilt thou leave thy labor to him? The answer obviously is no. Wilt thou believe him? The answer obviously is no. You can't believe a word he says. Wilt he bring home thy seed and gather it into thy barn? The answer is obviously no. So Job talked about the unicorn, and he's uncontrollable. He does what he wants to. These were men that were at the cross, uncontrollable, did what they wanted to. It didn't matter what God wanted as far as they were concerned. They were going to do what they wanted to do. And so the unicorn appears here to be men that were wild, and they were fierce, and they were worse than the pack of dogs. And the dogs are pretty bad. But in verse 22, I see, as it were, a contrast. Oh, there were those that opposed Jesus Christ. But notice, the one who was smitten, the one who was abandoned, the one who is our sin bearer, Jesus Christ, he said, I will declare thy name unto the brethren. I will praise Jehovah. He abandoned me. He didn't help me when I called upon him, because he is holy. I have become sin. Not my sin, but the sin of the people that were given him. Father, you're holy. Oh, I'm going to praise you. Oh, I'm going to seek you. Yeah. Oh, do I need to remind you how the Son loved the Father? He loved him. He had been in the Father's bosom for all of eternity. Can I say past? Ye that fear him, the hosts that have an affection for God. Oh, and those that do have an affection for God, they will receive the one that God has sent. And then there is a reference to those in Israel. Praise him, all ye seed of Jacob. Glorify him. Right away, I began to wonder, what in the world is the difference between to praise and to glorify? To praise is to celebrate. It is to boast of him, of course. And that's all we've got to boast about, is God's greatness. We celebrate who God is and what he's done. In fact, that word is translated praise 117 times, boast 10 times, and to celebrate one time. And it's in the PL. PL? I think everybody knows what the PL is. There are seven Hebrew stems, for lack of a better word. And PL is the most extensive. As I said before, you can use the word broken He broke the rock. And you can say it in the Hithpael, or you can say it in any of the other stems. But then if you say it, he broke it in the PL. He broke it, true, but he smashed it to pieces. There's the difference. And we are to praise him in the PL. We are to praise him in the extreme. Praise him. Celebrate him. Honor him. And that word is also translated glory 14 times. Glorify is also in the PL. Glorify him to the extreme. It's translated honor 34 times. It's translated glorify 14 times. Thus, to praise God is to celebrate. It is to boast of him and to glorify him is to honor him. All we praise him and we honor him. Praise him. Glorify him. But, O Israel, praise God. Boast about God. Brag on God. Honor him. And do it in the PL. Do it in the extreme. And I cannot think but what John wrote in John chapter 1, verse 10. And you and I have reason to praise him. You and I have reason to glorify him. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Now you know where I'm going. And he came into his own, but his own received him not. But, there's a contrast, as many as received him, not Jews necessarily. I'm not a Jew. I don't think there's any Jews here. I know a girl that I've been texting, and she is half Jew. I didn't know that until just recently. But she's half Jew. But as many as received him, to them, to those that received him, to them gave he power. And this morning we said, remember, he enabled. I'm so glad that he enabled me. You're glad that he enabled you to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Yeah. Which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh. And just in case people don't get that, nor of the will of man. There's only one thing left. But of God. With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. God can save anyone. He can. It's not up to me. Look at me. God saved me. And to this day, people shake their heads and they say, how in the world did God save a person like you? I don't know, but I'm glad he did. And I realize that you and I are not of Israel. But oh, do we love God. Why? Because he first loved us. How do we know that he loved us? He saved us, didn't he? If he hadn't loved us, he wouldn't have saved us. No. Indeed, there is none like unto him. No, not even one. Yeah. So why should you and I praise him? Why should we honor him? Why? He has saved us. And Jesus Christ is viewed in Psalm 22 upon the cross. He endured what you and I should have experienced. I could never have endured, nor could you, what that man endured on Calvary's cross. And then I find the 24th verse also appropriate. As I've already said, we love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. And I'm so glad that He chose us into salvation. Had He not chosen us, we would never have ever been saved. Yeah. Two things are obvious. Two things are. Number one, Jesus Christ is God. He really is. He's God. I even heard it said, and I have pondered this, and I haven't come to a conclusion yet, but I've heard it said that you and I will never see the Father. All we're going to see is Jesus Christ. I don't know. I don't know. But I know one thing. I'm going to see Jesus Christ. I will see Him. And He's going to be the most magnificent sight, the most beautiful person that you and I have ever seen. You think we've seen beauty here? We haven't seen anything yet. God, oh listen, God was made sin for us. That's why we ought to praise Him. That's why we ought to honor Him. Our God knows everything, and He knew that you and I were slaves to sin. He knew it. Just as surely as Israel, as the Jews were slaves to the Egyptians, they were slaves. They couldn't deliver themselves from the power of Pharaoh. You and I could never have delivered ourselves from the power of sin. We couldn't. It's an impossibility. I mean, we thought we were having a great time. We thought everything was okay. And all the while, sin was doing its thing in us. Sin affected everything, every fiber, as it were, in our bodies. But Jesus Christ went to Calvary, and He endured eternal damnation that you and I might understand, that we might have life everlasting. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus Christ sent, or was sent into the world. And Jesus Christ, the one that was sent, did not hide His face from us. Oh, I don't think I'll die for Him or for her. No. No, no. That's asking too much. Oh, no. He died for her. He died for me. Oh, He died for all that the Father had given Him before the world was made. Oh, but we need to know how much Jesus Christ suffered. And I am convinced it's not enough to know. It's important to know that we're saved. Yes, indeed. It's so important. But that's not everything. I am convinced that it's important, as best we can, to know what He suffered. Salvation is free. I didn't do anything for it. Jesus Christ did it all. I am saved not by my performance, but I am saved by His performance. It's free, but it's not cheap. You can't show me a verse of Scripture to ever tell me that salvation is cheap. It's free. It was freely given me, but it's not cheap. Why? It cost Him everything. It did. He died that I might have life. Just like that worm died, that her offspring could have life. He died, and He shed His blood so that we could have life. Father! Oh my God! Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani! Why? Oh my God, why have you forsaken me? You know who I am. You know what I'm faced with. You know what's happening. Why? Oh, I cry to you so much. You don't hear me. You ignore me. But thou art holy. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that the Father sent Jesus Christ into the world to be our Savior. He didn't hide His face from you and me. The Father looked at us, at the afflicted, and He saw the affliction that we were in, and He didn't abhor us. Oh, I would save them, but look how sinful they are. He saved you and me through what Christ did at Calvary because it gave Him pleasure, because it brought Him praise, because it brought Him glory. Oh, listen, you and I, all we ought to be thankful for what Jesus Christ did for us at Calvary. And then in verse 25, we see the words, "My praise shall be with you." Oh, how Christ celebrated, how Christ worshiped the Father. Oh, how we ought to celebrate. Oh, how we ought to worship the Father. Father, thank you, Jesus, thank you for going to Calvary for me. Oh, and that's something that nothing or no one can ever, ever, ever take away from you. Why? Because we're saved, we have life eternal because of what He's done. And what He's done can never, ever be taken away. Just like you can't unring a bell, and you can't. Once a bell is rung, it's rung. You can't take it away. You can pretend all you want, but it's already been wrong. And people can pretend all they want. Jesus Christ never went to Calvary. But they can't change the effects of Calvary. It is finished. Father, that which you've given me to do, I have completed it. And one of these days, according to the writer of Hebrews, Father, it is I and the children that Thou hast given me. And then we see the word vows. My promises. What vows? What promises? And from what I was able to, can I use the word ascertain? It was talking about the covenant of grace. Jesus Christ is become a surety for us that believe. Father, I will go to Calvary. Father, I will suffer. I will bleed. I will die. I will shed my blood for those whom Thou hast given me. I will. I am going to suffer in their place. I'm going to die in their place. I'm going to redeem them from their sin. Father, I'm going to bring them nigh unto You. I'm so thankful that I can stand in the presence of Almighty God as though I've never sinned. I'm so thankful that I can call God Father. That means a lot to me. It really does. Thank you, Father. And then that talks about the meek. I've always heard it said that the meek are those that do not demand their way. I've also heard it said that the meek speaks of those that are mild tempered. I am not mild tempered. Not at all. Those that are gentle, I'm like a bull in a china closet. Jesus Christ is gentle. Oh, He's gentle. I mean, to be so powerful and at the same time to be so gentle. Moses is said to have been the meekest man who had ever walked the earth. I'm convinced Jesus Christ is the meekest man that ever walked the earth. Talking about those that are humble. Those who are submissive to Almighty God. Oh, and I cannot think but think of our Lord as He spoke concerning the Beatitudes recorded in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Not blessed are the poor. Being poor is not a blessing. I was raised poor. That's not a blessing. I can remember as a little boy, we went down to the local Catholic church and we got food and commodities. And we took home. We had something to eat. I can remember the first of school. I got one shirt and one pair of Levi's. It had to do me the entire year. Well, you know how little boys are. It wasn't long. And I didn't have any knees in my new breeches, in my new Levi's. Well, what do you do? Well, you wear two pair of Levi's. You see, the second pair hides the hole in the first pair. That's just how it was. Blessed are the poor in spirit, speaking of those that know before God, I am bankrupt. The publican, he would not so much as lift his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast with his fist. God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. I mean, the Pharisee, he thought he had something to offer God. The publican knew he had nothing to offer God. And Jesus said, which one of these men went to his house justified? Not the first one, not the Pharisee, but the publican was justified. God, do whatever is necessary to save me. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That's what I sense here. They shall eat. They shall be satisfied. Oh, listen. Praise ye the Lord. I am convinced that this is much of what David had in his mind when he talked about Messiah. You and I have a Messiah. We have a Savior. There's God Himself. We have a Savior that's worth bragging about. He's worth talking about. In fact, He's all you've got to talk about, or all that we should talk about. Jesus the Christ, the one that went to Calvary, the one that went there for you and for me. Oh, I'm so glad, I really am, that I'm a part of the family of God. I'm so glad that I have been washed in His blood. I really am. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. It's all because of what Jesus Christ did at Calvary for you and for me. I am convinced this is what the psalmist had on his mind when he wrote Psalm 22. Why don't you stand? Why don't you bow your heads? And let's just focus upon Jesus Christ for a moment. Oh, He's so wonderful. He's so beautiful. He really is. And there's soon coming a time when we're going to see Him. Mr. Newell, would you please dismiss us in prayer, and then we'll go home.